Okay, Sarah School's Initiative, which is an NGO myself and my other team members run, is an NGO dedicated to helping indigenous children and youth across the country to have access to quality education. And at the same time, one of our main goals is to develop models and strategy that can solve the problems facing the Nigeria education system. So, in short, you know, that's majorly what we are doing. Our main focus is to advocate for quality education and at the same time to train teachers, to train students, and in one way or the other to also contribute to infrastructure development in our own little capacity.
Do you know that non-governmental organizations are working ceaselessly to make the world a better place?
We see a future where young people are connected and act together as agents of change.
Making the dream of children living in undeserved communities.
And I am well known for championing children's right to education.
Poverty alleviation, humanitarian aid.
Where every child, regardless of your geographical location,
healthcare,
socioeconomic status or religious background, will have access to quality education.
We are concerned about people's health and livelihood.
Leadership development and community development.
Yes, NGOs are working for the sustainability of all, especially the less privileged. Yes. Their voice deserves to be heard. NGO Podcast is the voice of NGOs. I am Jimo Oluwatobisegun. Stay tuned.
Hello, and welcome again to another episode of the NGO Podcast Show. Thank you for joining me again on this fresh episode. Thank you also for your feedback towards the previous episode. I want you to know that I appreciate and value it dearly. Thank you so much. If you are listening to this podcast show for the very first time, I want to welcome you and give you a thumbs up. Thank you for logging on and for listening to this podcast show. If you have always been my listener, I want to give you a thumbs up also. Thank you for being there right from day one. You guys rock. I appreciate and value you also. To my new listeners, I would like to give you the brief breakdown of this podcast show. As the name implies, NGO Podcast Show, we are simply working towards bringing the world non-government organizations to limelight. Our goal as an outlet is to work ceaselessly with the aim of bringing the non-government organizations existing in different parts of the world to the very limelight by having an interview session with either the founder, team leader, or executive director of different non-government organizations existing in different parts of the world on each episode. Basically, we are not limited to Africa or Nigeria alone. We are reaching out to all countries in the world as far as we are concerned. And I'm officially welcoming you to the episode 8 of the NGO Podcast Show. Thank you for joining me once again. And also, a few weeks ago, we have been on tour to the eastern part of Africa. Yes. We have an interview session with two different non-government organizations in Malawi and Uganda, to be specific. On this episode, we are back to Nigeria, West Africa. Oh yes, we are back to Nigeria, we are back home. On this episode, you will be listening to my interview session with the executive director and the project manager of Sarah School Initiative, a non-government organization which focuses on advocating for quality education in Africa. I'm talking about Sir Vincent Adioba along with his project manager. As we all know that quality education plays a crucial role in national development. Without quality education, no country in the world can stand. That is why I beat all part to have an interview session with the executive director and the project manager of Sarah School Initiative in person of Sir Vincent Adioba and Mr. Adebayo, talking about the project manager. While on conversation with this both young man, they share with me their passion, how they have been helping the country, how they have been helping the less privileged gaining access to quality education. You need to listen to this young man speak. In a few minutes, you will be listening to my interview session with them. And without a further ado, we have to jump on interview session now. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome, sir. Is it a good day to be alive?
Yeah, of course. It's a good day to be alive. And every day is good. Once you're listening for something to make life will be better for others.
Sure. How do you feel to be a guest on NGO Podcast, sir?
It's a very good thing for you to invite me. And I see that's a very big privilege, you know, that I don't really think I deserve, because I know there are a lot of
big guys outside there that are doing a lot to make Nigeria to be better. There are a lot of people that are working better than me, but for you to consider me, for you to be here, I see as a very big privilege.
So, my own pleasure to have you here with me, sir. Yeah. In brief, could you please give us a brief introduction about you, who you are, sir?
Okay, my name is Vincent Adioba Oluwa Damilola, a graduate of Obafemi Awolowo University, where I study management and accounting. I'm a social entrepreneur, and at the same time, I run a company called Cerevision Brooks. We are into education consultancy and ICT. So briefly, you know, that's all about me.
Wow, awesome, sir. You as a person, you run an NGO. That's why you are privileged to be on this podcast, on this show, as the NGO podcast is all about NGOs, the non-government organization. Will you please tell us in brief about the NGO you run?
Okay, Sarah School's Initiative, which is an NGO myself and my other team members run, is an NGO dedicated to helping indigenous children and youth across the country to have access to quality education. And at the same time, one of our main goals is to develop models and strategies that can solve the problems facing the Nigerian education system. So, in short, you know, that's majorly what we are doing. Our main focus is to advocate for quality education, and at the same time to train teachers, to train students, and in one way or the other to also contribute to infrastructure development in our own little capacity.
Awesome, sir. But sir, you are the executive director, right?
Yeah.
How does it feel to be an executive director? What does it take to be an executive director of an NGO, sir?
It doesn't really take anything. You know, it's not something special. It's not something that is unique, or it's something you need probably extraordinary skill or gift for. All you just need is about passion. Okay, you have to discover what you have passion for, you know. Okay. And I believe social entrepreneurship and NGO matters, you know, is a very big field. You can decide on which area you want to focus. It can be education, it can be human rights activists, you know. You know, it's wide. It can be health, you know, it can be sex education. So I just decided to pick education because that is what I have passion for. And with the people I have around that will be working together, the work has been so easy for me, you know. My team has been working tirelessly to make sure that, you know, we are able to impact lives, you know, across different states in the country.
So that's awesome, sir. As we all know that for something to anything to happen, there must be a reason behind it. For you founding this NGO, why did you found the NGO, sir?
Yes, you know, myself, I grew up from a very humble background. And like I always say, one of the things that gave me the opportunity to be who I am today is quality education. Okay, if I have not had access to education, I won't be who I am today. So I believe, you know, despite everything I've gone through, you know, everything I went through when I was young, and who I am today, I believe it is my responsibility to also give back to the society in my own little way. So that's why I started the NGO. Though I may not have so much resources, you know, present, but the little I have, I believe it can change your life, you know. And once you change your life, it's like you've changed a generation, like you've changed our humanity. So that's what inspired me to start the NGO and to be doing the little that myself and my team will be doing for some time now.
Quite impressive, sir. Sir, from your post online, your update online, your status, it's quite obvious that you are so passionate about this so-called quality education. But what's the reason behind this passion? For you being so passionate, everything on your timeline is about quality education and the likes. What was the driving force in you, sir?
Okay, you know, I believe if you don't advocate for quality education now, our future is at risk.
Sure.
Okay, because if you look at Nigeria today, especially the Northeast, the problem they are having with terrorism has to do with neglect of education on the side of the government. Okay. Those youth, they were left into the hand of the society. They were denied education. So when the likes of Boko Haram guys came together, it was very easy for them to hijack these guys, you know, and took them in. And today you can see a lot of lives, you know, that have been lost, a lot of property. So things like this, you know, for us to prevent something like this from happening in other parts of the nation, there's need for us to focus on quality education. There's no way we can move forward as a country if you don't give attention to quality education. If you look at most of the developed countries in the world today, they are countries that they are investing heavily in education. They are empowering their citizens, you know. They are breaking ways in science, you know, in different fields, and we have seen the result. But we are in a country that the government is not doing enough in terms of education, and we believe we can't just continue to blame the government. Blaming the government will not solve the problem. So we believe individual, we too must come into partnership with government. Let's see the little we can do so that, you know, there can be a change. In us, Father, we are still waiting for government to wake up from their slumbering, you know, and do something better.
Quite impressive, sir. As your organization exists, I believe that you have implemented a lot of projects, right?
Yeah.
And quite impressive enough, I have the project manager here, right?
Yes.
And also, sir, the project manager, it's my pleasure to have you here with me on NGO Podcast also. As the project manager of the Sarah Talks Initiative, right, the organization, can you please outline a few projects that your organization has been able to accomplish so far, sir?
Yeah, so far we have been able to execute some projects. Basically, we were able to implement a standard project that we launched last year. You know, the standard project came out of passion from what we saw at one of the schools that we went to in Ibadan, around Odono, Iliwe in Ibadan. You know, when we got to this school, you know, it's a public school.
Sure.
And then we saw the kind of school standards that those children were putting on. You know, we were marveled at. Seriously, you know, it's just like, in fact, the particular guy that we use on the page that we used to promote
sure.
the project,
yeah.
it's just like the guy was wearing a rope. You know, we were moved, so we had to like, no, we have to do something in that regard. And then since then we've been producing. We produced the first batch, and then the second batch presently, it's ongoing.
Quite impressive, sir. Quite impressive. And your project so far has been so interesting and quite awesome, sir. But this project is quite wide. We know, talking about this standard project, it's quite wide, raising a lot of funds and the likes. How do you put things together to implement this project, sir? How do you respond?
Well, interesting. We have received the support from a lot of people who also are passionate about education, you know. So we have some people that donate, and the major source of income that we use to implement the standard project came from individuals
okay.
who did donation, even as low as 500 naira.
Okay.
You know, so we put together these resources of people that donated 500 naira, 1,000, people that donated more and more like that, you know, we put them together to implement the project. And so that's just the major source of income that we've been using to finance the project.
Wow, quite impressive, sir. Over to you, Mr. Vincent Adioba. A few weeks ago, last month to be precise, you broke a gimmick about a young boy that you came across in one of these rural communities in Osun State, Nigeria, West Africa. But would you please tell us more about the boy and why did you pick up his responsibility, sir?
Okay, a little correction. I met the boy in Ekiti, not in Osun. So
okay.
I went for a program, while I was there. I just saw a little boy that came with two handmade fans, you know, and the fans were walking, so he was just taking the fan, showing people, appealing to them to give him money to eat. So immediately I saw him, I saw something beyond that fan he was holding. So later I called him, I asked him some questions, even though he couldn't really speak so well, you know. I later gave him my number that when he gets home, he should give the number to his mom or his dad that they should call us. So later that day, his mom called and we talked, and they told me he's no longer going to school, that I stopped going to school in primary 5. I know, I was like a boy that dropped out of school in primary 5 and that could able to put things together,
like
something like this. No, like this is a big potential. This can be a very big future asset to Nigeria if we do something. So I picked up the responsibility to see what I can do for him, and we launched an online campaign asking for people to support us in sending him back to school so that, you know, he won't lose all those potential. Probably one day, you know, we don't know what is going to become to the world, not even to Nigeria.
Yeah.
So majorly the potential I saw in him was what attracted him to him, and I like I said that day, I will do whatever I can to make sure this potential is not allowed to die.
Awesome, sir. Are you the one taking the responsibility or your organization?
Yes, I'm not the one taking the responsibility. What I just did for him was an online advocacy.
Okay.
And presently, we have a lot of people that have contributed some amount of money. And at the same time, we are also partnering with Impact African Foundation.
Awesome.
Who have decided to give the boys scholarship. So presently, we are still working to see how he can return back to school in September when other students will be resuming back in school in Ekiti State.
Quite impressive, sir. Recently, You are also appointed as an ambassador of a non-government organization, Impact Africa Foundation, right?
Yeah.
In Nigeria, which has gone viral. How do you feel to be an appointed ambassador, sir?
Yeah, I don't really feel, I don't know, I don't really feel anyhow, because I just believe in one thing, that there's always reward for hard work. You know, if you are hardworking, if you are passionate about what you are doing, there's a way God compensates. So I just believe, you know, this is one of the way God just want to encourage me. I'm not even seeing that the reward yet. I'm seeing that the way God just want to encourage me, that okay, you know, and I'm seeing what you are doing, you know, and let me encourage this. And I also want to thank the Board of Trustee of the NGO too for considering me worthy of the appointment. So I'm really grateful for it, but I don't really see that something so special or something so big like that. You know, it's just a privilege, you know, to be appointed as an ambassador of Impact Africa Foundation.
Okay, swiftly, let's move quite directly into the education sector in Nigeria. In your opinion, what's the rate of children out of school in Nigeria, sir?
To me, I think an organization said we have over 20 million children out of school in Nigeria. To me, I don't even believe that figure is accurate, because, you know, I travel a lot and I see a lot of children on the street, you know, selling that and out of school, you know. So with the number of children I come across every day, I'm very sure that figure, you know, is not right. It's going to be more than that in Nigeria. So, and you know, and sometimes when I see these children, I just keep telling myself, which future are these children going to have? They are being denied education, you know, most of them, they are not going to school. You always see them on the road roaming about the street. And it's not, they are roaming about the street now. It's even a threat to our future. Later in life, these children are not empowered. If they don't have access to education, they are going to become another thing. They are going to become risk to our life and to the life of our children and even future generation.
Awesome, sir. Where do you think that the issues, the problem lies in the problem of quality education lies? Is it the government or the public or the general public, sir?
Okay, to me, I believe we have all failed.
Okay, why?
As far as the education system is concerned, because yes, let's start from the aspect of government. You know, government over the time, they have refused to make proper investment into the education sector, and even the little they are investing into the sector, more than 60% have been stolen as a result of bribery and corruption. You know, you see in a particular institution, probably the budget or they allocate like something like 10 billion or something, but before the money will get to the school, sometimes never up to 2 billion again. Over 8 billion would have been stolen. So tell me, so the money that the government is meant to use, you know, to provide infrastructure and necessary materials, you know, and tools, you know, in the education sector, most of them, they end up in the pocket of some few individuals. They are at the same time to parents. Okay, now their parent attitude to education too is very poor. Okay, you know, a lot of, even some parents don't even value education again. They believe, you know, the government, the schools are just there, so their children don't need to be educated. And you know, no matter who you want to become in life, even if there's no way, you are going to need education. So the parent attitude to education too, in one way or the other, has affected the sector. Then at the same time too, students, they have their own blame too. You know, students nowadays, today, don't take their education serious. You see a lot of them, they are just in school. You know, I've met a lot of students in SS3, SS2, that they cannot even write a single sentence correctly. So the blame is on all of us, even we too as an individual, because the issue is we can't just keep blaming government. Government cannot solve all our problems. There's need for us to come in as an individual and do something. And if you look at some of the developed countries, you know, you have a lot of individuals that are partnering with government. But in this part of the world, it's like we just want government to do everything for us. You know, we don't want to contribute. So we too, in one way or the other, we are guilty. We have a lot of people that they went to a particular secondary school and they are well to do today, but they don't even remember their alma mater. I've been to a lot of schools like that, school that they established in 1960, in 1965, that they produced lawyers, doctors, engineers, you know. And you see those schools, you know, in a dilapidated form. And sometimes I ask their principal, where are the whole students? And they're like, they don't even know if they exist. So we are all guilty. We all must share the blame. And at the same time too, we all also must take up the responsibility of providing solutions to the problem facing the sector. We cannot leave everything into the hands of the government.
In your view, in your own perspective, how can this problem be coped or be solved?
Okay, for this problem to be solved, I believe government must wake up to our responsibility. Okay, we elected those leaders because we want them to solve our problems. We want them to provide blueprints which we can follow to make the education sector to be better. Now, so there are a lot of solutions we can provide. One, there is need for us to introduce technology and digital tools into our education system. You know, you see, we in 21st century, we still have a lot of schools that are still using blackboard chalk. Oh, yeah. You know, some of them still carry big textbook around. You know, whereas we have digital library now, we have what they call e-library, we have mobile library. So, government must introduce technology. If you introduce technology and digital tools into our education sector, I want to tell you the cost of running that sector will reduce by 50%, and at the same time, the effectiveness of the sector will also increase by 50%. So we have to think in terms of introducing technology. At the same time, too, we also have to think in terms of working on a new curriculum. The curriculum we are using over years, they are not really working, and it's like the government is just doing trial and error. So there's need for us to bring in a flexible curriculum that, as things are changing in the world, this curriculum also can also be changed so that our students can be positioned to, you know, to compete with anybody in any part of the world. Then at the same time too, there's also need for us to bring in a lot of initiative in terms of scholarship for indigent children and youth in the country that probably, you know, they are from poor background and they have passion for education. So this will also help us to encourage people like that to go back to school. And at the same time, to government need to motivate teachers. We have a lot of states in Nigeria that government have not paid teacher salary for 8 months, for 9 months. Tell me a teacher that have not gotten salary for 8 months, for 9 months, how will such teacher go to class and teach with happiness? It's not done. At the same time too, the issue of strike, there's need for us to do something about it. A course you are meant to study for like 4 years, sometimes you end up spending 6 years in the university. So if government can focus on this little thing I've said, you know, and which individual to partner with government in our own little way, I'm telling you, the sector will be back to the standard it was known for earlier, before.
Sir, the project manager, sir, in your own opinion, the founder has shared his own opinion, right, about the rate at which children are out of school and the where the problem lies. What's your own opinion, in your own views, what is the rate of children out of school in Nigeria, and how can this problem be solved or curbed, sir?
Okay, yeah, the rate of children that are out of school in Nigeria, it's very tremendous. That if you even have the right figure, we may be scared. I know, just like the founder said, that is more than 20 million. Because we know what we see on daily basis, especially if you even take the imageries, you know, you will know that we have more figures than 20 million. But absolutely, what I will agree with anybody is that we have too much of kids who are out of the school. So that's that. Then the problem, you know, the truth of the matter is that the immediate cause of a problem of any country is just the government.
Why did you say so?
You know, the government has the resources of the country.
Okay.
Because they are in charge of the resources, okay? So whatever happens to their citizens, they are directly responsible. However, when you have this kind of a scenario, there is a role, or there are some roles that individuals can also play. Just like the founder was saying, that the cause of the problem is the government, and however we have some people who should also share the blame. Like for example, now you graduated from a school, and then after some years God has blessed you, you've made some money and the rest. Why, what stops you from going back to your school, you know, and do something for them?
Okay,
like for example, there are even some people that enjoy their free education during the time of Awolowo, even not because of that platform. Most of the professors that we have, most of the well good meaning Nigerians that we have, we will not have them. Now, you now ask me, what happens to them? What are they giving back to the system that made them? You know?
Yeah.
So, even given the fundamental question that the government is the source of, is the major source of the problem, we still have individuals who are also part and parcel of the problem. So, if all of us wake up to the call, you know, if we wake up to the call, and then we now see that is a challenge on our tables and we need to solve it. So everybody's hand must be on desk.
So everybody's hand must be on deck. That's a possible solution.
That is
from
the
your
possible
perspective,
solution.
Sir.
That's it.
Quite impressive, sir. Who should I direct this question to? Your project so far has been quite impressive, quite interesting, and you've implemented a lot of projects, right? But moreover, do you have paid worker you paid by maybe wages or salary, sir, to carry out your projects? Or you are the only one doing it?
To carry out the project?
Yes.
Well, In the Sarah School Initiative, all of us that we are team members, we came on board because we believe in the vision and we believe that there is need for intervention in the education sector. That's why all of us, we are together. But basically, if we want to execute a project, okay, you know, if we are going to pay anybody, maybe we want to pay the people who we do the project for us. For example, the Sarah School Sander that we embarked on, you know, we decided that we should take it to a local manufacturer.
Okay.
Who will help us to do it. We thought of giving it to local manufacturer because we also saw it as an avenue to also, you know, provide more employment.
Sure.
You know, compared to like buying it from a manufacturing company, like something imported from China, right. And you know, so we just looked at it that we should look for a local manufacturer, and we did. We gave him the money, we negotiated, he gave us a fair price, we paid the money. So that is what we do sometimes. You know, we paid people that will work for us, but we don't pay ourselves in the Sarah School Initiative.
Okay, quite impressive. So, as the project manager, what's the latest project the organization is working on presently?
Well, the latest project that we are working on, I think they are like two or three. But basically, we are still looking forward to having more sanders.
Okay.
Because our projection is that yearly we'll be having 1,000 sanders produced. You know, but so far this year we are still, you know, far below the target.
Okay.
So, however, we are still looking forward to receiving more donations from people. And then we are also looking for more avenue to produce more so that we meet that target of 1,000 pairs of sanders to
quite
be available for all the students in the public school, particularly. However, we have a project on building,
okay,
on dilapidated building at one school at Osun State, in Osun State. Yeah. Ijeda, Osun State,
okay,
you know. So just like the founder talked about, that the blame is on all of us. You know, most times when you get to some schools and you see their current situation, you ask that where are the older
students
and the rest like that. So when we got to Ijeda, we saw what was happening there, and we got a link to one of the older students there. So it was that fellow who has decided to take up that collapse building,
okay,
you know, and we are working on it now. And we are looking forward to getting to more schools and to getting some of their older students so that we can get this major project done. So that is what we have presently at hand. But we still have so many projects that will still be coming in the nearest 3 to 2 months.
Okay, quite impressive, sir. As the founder, sir, Mr. Vincent, what has been the greatest challenge from the inception of this organization, sir?
Yes, I think the question that you yourself, you know the answer.
Why? I didn't know the answer. If I know the answer, I won't ask you.
Because most of when you're into a project like this, the major problem you always face is resources. Even Nigeria government, if you ask them what is the major challenge they are facing, that's why the wastage of resources in the system.
But they are not a not-for-profit organization.
Okay, so the major challenge we've been facing so far is in terms of resources. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people in Sarah School's Initiative, they are people that are passionate about this vision. And in one way or the other, they'll be contributing their own resources. But you know, we have a lot of projects we really want to implement, but finance has been the major problem. And now we, as one of our principle, we don't really like the idea of going around begging people,
okay,
for money, and that's why in our own little way too, we are trying to empower ourselves and to create a system that can be generating money for us, because we believe you cannot help the poor by becoming poor.
Sure.
So we too, we are also trying to position ourselves in such a way that we can be having something coming in for us every month, and a percentage will be going to Sarah School's Initiative. So if we have more resources, I'm telling you, with the way we've been managing the little we have, because with all the project we've been handling, is the little we have that we have been using effectively. So if we have more resources, I believe we can do more projects, we can inspire more life. And at the same time, I think one other challenge we also be facing has to do with the risk involved.
Okay.
In this work, because we travel a lot, okay, and our major focus is our schools
in rural and interior areas. So most of for us to travel down to those villages is not easy. And you know how good Nigeria roads are.
Yes.
You know, when you're on Nigeria roads, it's just 50-50. It's either, you know, you go back and you are safe, or you go, you have accident probably, and you get out of the way. But we thank God Almighty for the way he has been protecting. So the risk involved too has been one of the major problems. And at the same time too, I think in this part of the world too, people are always skeptical about NGO work.
Yeah.
Some people, by the time they see you that probably you are into NGO, they always believe probably it's because you don't have work to do.
Sure.
Or you are hungry, and probably the money they will give you what you use to feed yourself.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't really see that it's because you are passionate about the problem. And that's why we've decided that we don't want to be going around again begging people for money. Let you use the little we have to do something. By the time they see the little we are doing, they cannot voluntarily reach out to us and tell us, okay, come around, let's see how we can partner with you people. So basically, those three things I've mentioned are the challenges that we have faced so far, that we are still expecting to face, but we are more determined. You know, we believe we can overcome these challenges and keep the vision going.
Okay, so before I let you go, what is the possible means of reaching you or the organization in case our well-meaning listener might want to sponsor your course or have an official discussion with you, sir?
Okay, you can reach us via our Facebook page, Serial Schools Initiative. We have a Facebook page, and myself too. My name is Vincent Adioba on all my social media platforms through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the like. And at the same time too, our project manager too, Mr. Victor Adeyemo too. You can also reach out to him on any of his social media platforms. So you can drop message for us, you know, and from there we'll reply you. And if there's any information you need, we can always give it to you.
Okay, sir. And in a sentence, what's your advice for our leaders, to our leaders rather?
Nigerian leaders, either we like it or not, they are the major problem this country is facing. It's a tragedy that a country that is so blessed like Nigeria, over 90% of our citizens are still living in abject poverty. So there's need for our leader to be sincere. There's need for them to implement what they promised us before the election. Because before the election, they promised us heaven and earth. But by the time they get there, they cut off themselves from the masses that voted for them. So there's need for our leader to be more responsible. There's need for us to put a system that can curb corruption. Every year, Nigeria alone, over $100 billion have been taken outside the country to other countries. This money are not just money they take there to invest. They are stolen money. So if this money remain in our country, remain in our system, Nigeria is going to be a better place. Every child will have access to quality education. And our future as a country, as a people, will be secured.
Okay, and in your own words also, what is the in a sentence, what are your wordings or your advice for our leaders?
Well, in short, they should just be passionate about development. That is it. Because why are we in Serial School Initiative? Because we are passionate about one thing. And what is that? In education. And we did not just pick education. But because we saw that education is the fundamental thing on which development rights.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So indirectly, we are very passionate about education, because when you check any model of education of development anywhere in the whole world, you will see that woman is the center fulcrum of that developmental model.
Sure.
All right. And the woman who is going to be the center of that development model must be educated. You know, that's why we have picked education as one of the things that we are very passionate about. So what I will tell to the, what I'm going to say to the government is that whoever who is in that capacity as a leader, they should be passionate about development. And if they are passionate about development, necessarily, they will be passionate about education.
Wow, thank you very much, Sir Vincent, for coming through to be my guest on the show today. Yeah. My own pleasure to have you here with me, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Project manager, my own pleasure to have you. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, yes, sir.
Welcome back from the interview session that with Sir Vincent Adeyoba along with the project manager of the Serial School Initiative. Oh yes, it's high time for me to step aside for the opportunity update, as the opportunity man is here to share with you the latest happening in the world of NGO, and I'm very sure you will gain a lot from the opportunities about to share with you. I'm very sure you will never go away. Don't dare touch the dot. Don't go away. I'll be right back in a few minutes. Opportunity man, let's do this. Oh yes. Hey, it's time for opportunity update. Opportunity update on NGO Podcast Show. Stay tuned.
and welcome to the Opportunity Update Corner on the NGO Podcast Show. My name is Seifumi Adebote, and it's a pleasure to do this again with you on this episode. On my decks this week, I have one very important update for you, and it is from the McCain Institute as they throw open their doors and welcome invitations for the Next Generation Leaders Program. Yes, the Next Generation Leaders Program. It is a program that is designed to identify, train, network, and empower a group of emerging character-driven leaders from around the world. And it offers you an opportunity to learn from professionals, it exposes you to top-level policymakers, and of course, it is a fully funded one-year-long program. That's amazing. Now, what's the criteria? First, applicants should be in their mid-career, possess working proficiency in English language, and have a high degree of professional academics and work achievements. Applicants should have a decade or more of experience, and there is no age limit, although the range is from 30 to 45. The McCain Institute selects target countries, of which Nigeria is a part of it. You must be fluent in English, you must be able to read and understand complex texts, and of course, you must be ready to work with other young emerging leaders. Now, does this sound exciting? Would you really want to be a part of the Next Generation Leaders program? Then visit the website www.ngl.mcaininstitute.org. That is www.ngl.mcaininstitute.org. Let me spell that. Maybe you should get your pen. That's NGL, which stands for Next Generation Leader. So www.ngl.mcaininstitute. That's spelled mccaininstitute.org. Yeah, I've done the best I can. I wish you all the very best. So thank you so much for joining me again on the Opportunity Update Corner. We'll do this again, hopefully next year. Till then, keep listening to the NGO Podcast Show. My name is Seifumi Adebote. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Wow. Glad to know that you're still listening to the NGO Podcast Show. We are drawing curtain on today's episode and on the NGO Podcast for the year. It's been a nice time being with you. Having you listening to me means a lot. I celebrate you and value you dearly. Thank you so much, comrade, for your feedbacks, your calls, your mails. Oh my, you're wonderful. As a matter of fact, you rock. Before I go, I would like to give out the possibilities of reaching the Sarah School Initiative, the organization that was featured on today's episode. You can simply read them via their Facebook page. Just search Sarah School Initiative. Sarah School Initiative is spelled out SERASCHOOLINITIATIVE, Sarah School Initiative. They'll be glad to hear from you in case you want to sponsor any of their projects, want to volunteer for them, or have a special discourse with them. You can still easily get in touch with them. Oh yes, we are going for today and for the year. You know, the Christmas is fast approaching. The Christmas celebration is around the corner. The New Year celebration is around the corner. Celebration in the air. Oh man, you know, I'm super, super excited. You know one thing, I want you to know that I value and I appreciate you dearly. For you being there, for you listening to me right from day one. You guys rock. You're so, so amazing. You are so, so wonderful. So from all of us at the NGO Podcast Show, a media outlet that is working ceaselessly to bring the world non-government organizations to the limelight, we are all wishing you, yes, I mean you, a wonderful and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year in advance. Oh yes, and I'm going for today. I remain your dear host,
I am Jimo Oluwatobi Shegun. You can simply call me JOS. To get updates on our latest episode, log on to www.ngopodcasts.com.ng. www.ngopodcasts.com.ng. www.ngopodcast.com.ng. I'm glad to inform you that NGO Podcast is on iTunes, is on Google Play Music, is on TuneIn Radio, is on Stitcher. Log on, listen to us anywhere you are in the world. Oh yes, we value and appreciate you dearly. But before I go, I want you to know that you have a vital role to play in the human race. Government cannot do it all for you. Be ready to do yours. Stay fresh. Remain blessed. Peace. Oh yeah. Happy Christmas. And Happy New Year in advance. Hooray. We love you. Yeah.